Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We started chapter 4 last week. I don't know if we're going to finish it up. We'll see. We'll see what Steve does. I was going to say we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads, but I think a lot of the problem up here is that Steve's here. So anyway, let's all stand and go through and read it. Starting in verse 1. We've been, for you that are new, if you haven't been here before, we've been going through 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy, and so we're in chapter 4 today. It says, verse 1, Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we get to spend in it. And Lord, just pray that the study this morning would be something that's profitable. Lord, that you'd be speaking through your word, like you say. And Father, that we'd be people who hear. You said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so, Lord, that's what we want. We want to trust you more. We want to walk with you tighter as we walk out of this building. And Lord, again, thanks for the building. Thanks for the day, even the rain, Lord. We love you and we just bless you, Lord, for the work that you do in our lives. Do it today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. This is like the first time that we've ever been rained out in an amphitheater service. So when I actually got called this morning and they told me that it was raining, and I'm a guy who, it's like I don't cancel anything if I don't absolutely have to. So the only other time that we had a service rained out was Easter sunrise, and I can't even remember when that was. It was when we were meeting in the park, and then we get rained out in August. This is crazy. Must be global warming. All right. If you guys were here first service last week, I got further first service last week than I got second service. And so I need to go over a couple of things, and then we'll get into the rest of the text. At the very beginning, we started this again last week, and it talks about the fact that there's a prophecy in Scripture, and it's not just in this place. Last time we went through and talked about a number of places in the New Testament where there is a prophecy specifically speaking about the fact that people are going to be turning away from Christ, people who claim to be Christians. Christian churches are going to be turning away from Christ. There's going to be a general apostasy that takes place in the latter days. In this passage, it says the latter times. A little bit further on, chapter or in 2 Timothy It talks about the last times, that kind of thing. And so one of the things that we need to be watching for as Christians is apostasy in the church. Are there churches that are turning away from the traditional doctrines? And what I mean by traditional doctrines isn't what the church, just what the church believes. It's what the Bible teaches. People who play fast and loose with Scripture and try to make the Bible say exactly the opposite of what it actually says. Are there churches that do this? Yeah. Are they on the increase? Yes, absolutely. And it's something that was prophesied 2,000 years ago, something that's absolutely new. So we talked about the rise of the cults, the fact that there are just thousands of cults with millions of people, over 20 million people in the United States alone, are involved in what would be called Christian cults or cultic religions. And it's something that is started in the last half, basically, the 19th century, the 1800s, and went all the way through the 20th century. And so the fact that there is an apostasy is something that's demonstrable. We can look around and we can see it. And the Bible indicates that it's going to get worse. This is where it's got to go. When you're talking about the world in general, what the Bible says is that there's a guy who's going to rise up. He is the Antichrist. He is going to claim to be God, and people are going to worship him. That's where it's got to go. And so you can see people's minds changing in all kinds of different arenas, in all kinds of different areas, where man worship is becoming something that isn't like anathema to us. A lot of the stuff that I read in my Bible when I first got saved, I could not see how it could happen. And that was back in 75 through 79 or so. I'm reading the prophecies in the book of Revelation, and I could not see how it could happen. The Bible says that people are going to be worshiping Satan, like literally worshiping Satan, as the power behind the Antichrist. So not only do we have to get to a point where people will give their allegiance to one man who claims to be God and worship him as God, they're going to be worshiping Lucifer. Have you seen the PR on Lucifer lately? You know, you see this in television shows, that kind of thing, where Lucifer is a good guy and he fights crime. You know, that kind of thing. And it's a repainting of what the Bible actually says about the fallen angels and about Lucifer specifically. We have a general turning away from what Scripture has to say, and again, it's a precursor to the coming of the Antichrist. We have to have a world order where there's one guy in charge. We have to have tyranny. We have to have tyranny. And so when you look at our political system, the people who are screaming the most about rights are the most tyrannical. And they will not put up with any opposition to what they teach or what they believe. They'll drive people in their own parties out. They'll ruin reputations. You have to have a situation where there is going to be absolute tyranny with everybody bowing to a man. And so these are things that, you know, that's just a general principle that you have when you look at last days prophecy. Those are just some general things. And so when I'm looking around at the world and I'm looking around at the news, newspapers, that kind of stuff, getting on the internet, those are things I'm looking for. Is it tending towards the worship of mankind? Is it tending towards a revamping of who Satan is, of who Lucifer is? Is it tending towards tyranny? Is it tending towards a cashless society? Is it tending, and you can go through all the things that the Bible teaches, tending towards apostasy. You can go through all the things that the Bible teaches are going to take place in the last days, and you can see how it's coming. I do a prophecy update every year, and every year I have brand new material to go through, and it's just, and I used to save up all year long. I used to read articles and magazines and that kind of stuff, save up all year long. It is pointless now. I don't even do it anymore, because in December, by the time I start to save, and I still save stuff, but it, I know it's going to be pointless. I have articles from January of this year all the way up until the time that we're in. When I get to December, all of them are going to be out of date, and there's going to be better stuff in December talking about things that are on the move, on the, you know, in the process of changing to the point where we're seeing, again, the precursors of the times that are spoken about in the book of Revelation. We are living in times where Jesus said when these things came in Revelation chapter 1, he says that they were going to happen quickly. So literally suddenly, these things were going to take place, like dominoes tipping over. And I'm just seeing in the time that I've been alive, the time that I've been a Christian, I've seen it get more and more radical, time goes on. And so two things in this passage that speak about the apostasy and the false doctrine that's going to be taking place. He says that they're going to be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Again, this is something that when I first became a Christian, I was like, forbidding to marry? What is that about? We talked about that in both services last week, so I'm not going to go on and on with that, except to point out that there's a reason that marriage is under attack. And the reason that marriage is under attack is because marriage is something that pictures Christ and the church. The husband is supposed to be like Jesus. The wife is supposed to be like the church. The way that Jesus treats the church is the way that the husband is supposed to be treating the wife. The way that the wife treats Jesus, or the way that the church is supposed to treat Jesus, let me put it that way, is the way that the wife treats her husband. And so it's a picture of Jesus. Does Satan love Jesus? No. Does Satan love pictures of Jesus? No. Does Satan love anything that's going to be a witness of who Christ is? Because when you've got a Christian marriage, when you've got two people in a marriage who are doing exactly what the Bible says, guys like Jesus, wife is like the church, you've got something that is an absolute witness. It's totally different than anything else that you see in the world. And it's something that draws people into a relationship with God. It's a great picture of who Jesus is. Every time that I do a wedding, it is so easy to preach the gospel. So easy. Because there's the bridegroom, and there's the bride, picture of the church, picture of Jesus, and I just get into it, and people are just amazed. Non-Christian people are just amazed that all those things are in there. It's a great witness. And so Satan doesn't love anything that is a witness of Christ. And so what he's going to try to do is degrade it. He's going to try to redefine it. He's going to try to mess it up on any level that he can. And so that's some of the things that we've been seeing in the whole area of the marriage relationship. Marriage in the United States, marriage in the world, has been defined out of the existence that God formed it in. God is the one who made marriage. You can read it in Genesis chapter 2. God is the one who made marriage. Jesus is the one who defined it. God defined it too. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, defines marriage. And all the stuff that the world is calling marriage nowadays, Jesus defined out of existence 2,000 years ago. Didn't even leave room for it. And so, you know, people will talk about, well, Jesus never talked about bestiality. Jesus never talked about pedophilia. Jesus never talked about homosexuality. Jesus never talked about, yes, he did. And what he did was he called it sexual immorality. And so, again, you have that in Scripture. Don't compromise that. It's satanic. Satan wants to destroy marriage. Do not compromise it. It's a picture of Jesus in the church. The second thing, and again, that's something that when I was a young Christian, I was like, who is going to be doing this? And now you see it all over the place. Second thing is vegetarianism or radical veganism. When it says in this passage that they're going to command to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving, for every creature, verse 4, of God is good. If you have a translation that talks about, changes the word creature into creation, it is, it's a bad translation. It's literally creature, and it's a term that's used for animals. And so what we're talking about is vegetarianism versus meat eating. And so this is another one of those things where back in the 70s when I was a kid, I'm looking at this and going, who is going to go to radical vegetarianism? Who is going to forbid a barbecue? What maniac would ever do that? And again, what we see is a situation where there's a like literally a worldwide attack on meat eating. One of the things that the Bible teaches is that the Antichrist is going to rise out of what would be what we would call the old Roman Empire. Antichrist is going to rise out of that. And so when we have vegans here and we have vegetarianism here. And let me just preface this with this whole thing. I could care less what you eat. I don't care what you eat. And if you want to eat vegetables and only vegetables, you know, praise the Lord. Romans 14 talks about this. You don't judge somebody who eats vegetables, and people who eat vegetables don't judge people who eat meat. And if you're judging people who eat meat, you're in sin. If you're judging people who eat vegetables, you're in sin. So Mitch Dunphy is in sin. Every time. Last week, first service, I told the story of Mitch. We're at a restaurant, and he orders a hamburger. And Mitch Dunphy, when he orders a hamburger, has nothing on it. He'll put pickles on it, and he'll put ketchup on it, and I don't think he puts anything else on it. I don't know what else he does. I don't examine his hamburger. But when the waitress comes up, he goes, "I want a hamburger. I don't want anything on it except for pickles," and he does this whole thing. Well, they didn't do what he said. And so they sent him the hamburger, and they put a tomato on it, right? And so he bites into the hamburger, and he's like, "This is the best hamburger I've ever had. This is so good." And he's telling his wife, "This is really good." And he's sitting there eating it, takes another bite, and he's just eating it. And then he opens it up to see what's on it, and there's a tomato on it. And he immediately repents and says, "Tomatoes, they are of God." No, he doesn't do that. What he does is he takes the tomato off and he puts it on the side, closes the hamburger, and says, "I don't eat vegetables." And a tomato, is a fruit, but you get the point. He's a messed up unit. In any case, has no logic at all. There's none there. He was telling me after first service last week, he was telling me he was in a line with Don Doyle this one time, and I think they were ordering something, and he starts going on, they're going to get some food or something. He starts going on about how the Bible talks about vegetarians are weak people. And so he's taken a passage out of Romans chapter 14 out of context, because this is what Mitch does. So he's going on and on with Don about how vegetarianism is not right, and it's not what the Bible says, and weak people are vegetarians and that kind of stuff. And they move up in the line. This kid behind him is 19 years old. He comes up and he goes, "Wow, you know a lot about the Bible. Can you tell?" He starts getting into this whole thing with him, and Mitch has to repent on the spot. Go, "No, everything I said, I was just joking. It's all a lie." So anyway, Bible allows you to eat what you want to eat, but the Bible says in this passage that there's going to be an attack in the last days on meat eating. So do you see that? I've got an article here, "Humans Beef with Livestock, a Warmer Planet." Not only number one attack that I have seen from people on meat eating is the fact that they will say things like, this was a Christian, and actually a relative of mine said to me this one time, "I don't eat anything with a face." Right? Trying to make a point. And I said, "Jesus did." And we talked about this last week. Jesus ate the Passover. The Passover is a lamb that's been roasted. It's literally a barbecue. So Jesus ate a lamb that's been roasted. And in the Bible, it says you eat every part of the lamb. And so even the parts with the bones. My niece has been brought up on Costco pressed chicken breasts. It's like they take a bunch of meat, mystery chicken meat, and press it together. That's what it looks like to me. Press it together and you have a chicken breast. I hate those things. I want the real stuff. Anything that has a bone in it. But anything that has a bone on it, she can't hack. And anything that has anything that looks like it was attached to an animal, she'll eat meat, but she can't hack anything that actually looks like meat. And so she's kind of brought up that way, and she doesn't want anything that has to do with hot dogs or sausage or anything that's ground up mystery meat. So anyway, you have this whole kind of cultural shift that's taken place. And again, I don't care what you eat, but what happens is it becomes something where anybody who's into veganism or vegetarianism begins judging those who aren't. And that is absolutely unbiblical. Absolutely unbiblical. You get to eat what you want, but you don't get to judge one way or another. It's not supposed to be happening that way. And so that's the first attack. It's immoral. And I'm somebody, I love animals, and I don't like animals being treated badly. And so I live on 4 acres, and actually I've raised my own animals. And one of the things that I make sure of is that when it's time for the animal to be processed, I'm just using kinder terms, when it's time for that to happen, I always go out and watch, because I don't want some guy coming out and causing pain to an animal. And so there's a way to, I've had to put all kinds of animals down, and there are ways to do it that are just ridiculous. and there are ways to do it that are merciful. And so we don't do anything ridiculous. I've had to put down horses and sheep and animals that were sick and things like that. And it's the same thing when you're raising animals for meat. So you don't need to be mean to an animal. And so anything that has to do with meat processing where guys are doing awful things to animals, they should be prosecuted for those things. The Bible says a righteous man cares for his beast. And it was in the context of people who raised animals again for meat. And so a righteous man cares for his beast, and that's the way that it's supposed to go. And if it doesn't go that way, I think it needs to be, again, prosecuted. But you have that. And then the other thing that you have is the whole issue with livestock being something that is causing a warmer planet. I've got an article here, Humans Beef with Livestock, a Warmer Planet. American meat eaters are responsible for 1.5 more tons of carbon dioxide per person than vegetarians every year. It goes on to talk about Congress beginning to tackle the causes and cures of global warming, and talks about the fact that there's a focus now on the lowly bovine cows. It says, yet livestock are a major emitter of greenhouse gases that cause climate change. And as meat becomes a growing mainstay of human diet around the world, changing what we eat may prove as hard as changing what we drive. It's not just the well-known and frequently joked about flatulence and manure of grass-chewing cattle that's the problem, according to the recent report by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Always a fact-based organization, the United Nations are. Land use changes, especially deforestation to expand pastures and to create arable land for feed crops, is a big part. So is the use of energy to produce fertilizers, run the slaughterhouses and meat processing plants, and to pump water. Livestock are one of the most significant contributors to today's most serious environmental problems. Livestock are responsible for 18% of greenhouse gas emissions as measured in carbon dioxide equivalent. This includes 9% of all CO2 emissions, 37% of methane, and 65% of nitrous oxide. Altogether, that's more than the emissions caused by transportation. And the article goes on. Here's some more quotes. Arguably, the best way to reduce global warming in our lifetime is to reduce or eliminate our consumption of animal products, writes Noam Moore in a report for Earth Save International. Here's another one. Researchers at the University of Chicago compared the global warming impact of meat eaters with that of vegetarians and found that the average American diet, including all food processing steps, results in the annual production of an extra 1.5 tons of CO2 equivalent in the form of all greenhouse gases and so on. And so now it's not just a situation where it's mean to kill animals. Now it's a situation where if you're eating meat, you are causing the extinction of the planet. And so, again, something that I never thought that I would see in my lifetime is something that's being promoted and pushed specifically from the United Nations. Now, let me just address a couple of things. And this, again, is for Second Service. When you talk about the whole global warming thing, and I'm not going to make this a big fat science lesson, but it is going to be somewhat that. When you're talking about the whole global warming thing or climate change thing, the reason they changed it to climate change is because they found out that global warming doesn't necessarily cause global warming, that sometimes it causes global cooling, and there's, you know, issues there. One of the things that you need to know about theories is that if they are not falsifiable, they are not a theory. If everything that comes up, you can do fudge factors and make it fit your theory, it's not a theory.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.